1 Kings chapter 17. Let's just read some of the opening verses here this morning, please. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Amen. Just ending a reading at the end of verse 7. And we know the Lord himself will add his own divine blessing again upon the reading of his word. Entitle the message this morning, Hide Thyself. Let's just unite again our hearts in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. And we bless thee, Lord, that it is truth. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bring us into this passage that we have looked at this morning in the life of Elijah. Lord, we bless thee for thy word that is going forth by the various means in these days. Days where the congregations cannot assemble in the manner in which they're used to. But Lord, yet the word of God is going into homes. Thank the Lord for the word that's going forth to the boys and girls and to the children, young people. We bless thee again for the radio messages across the airwaves. Let the Bible speak. And oh, Father, we thank the Lord for every program that goes out every week, both here in our own land and in the south and across the world. And Lord, we pray that thou would be pleased to bless those words at this time. Bless the television programs as well that are continuing. And oh God, we pray that they might be a means of great blessing to the hearts of both thy children as well as those that are unsaved. Now, Lord, draw near to us this morning. Bless us now as we come to this passage. Fill me with thy spirit and with power. For we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. The message that is loud and clear in these days is, stay at home. Only go out for the necessities until this virus is passed. That directive has meant people hiding themselves away from their family, in some cases from friends and from neighbors. The difficulty is that some people have looked upon it as a national holiday instead as a national crisis. The context of us staying at home and distancing ourselves from society at large is very different than any would ever have expected. Yet it is a reality at this time. I want this morning to cause you to consider another man who was self-isolating. He was just a man like any one of the rest of us. And James, in his little epistle in the New Testament, he underlines that truth to us, lest we begin to think that this man was some superhuman being. He was called Elijah. He steps onto the biblical narrative all of a sudden out of nowhere. But as quickly as he goes in obedience to God to deliver a message before the king, a heathen, wicked king called Ahab, then just as quickly he is out of the public arena and out of circulation again. God was a living reality to Elijah. The country at large may have ceased to believe that God existed. They had ceased to follow God's word. But here was a man who wasn't swayed by public opinion nor by their practice. And so with assurance and with authority, this servant of the Lord was to announce the divine judgment on the kingdom of Ahab when he said, There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to the word of the Lord my God. The rainy season had come and had gone. And still there was a cloudless sky, not a drop of rain. No dew sparkled on what blade of grass remained. The rivers dried up, the fountains ceased to flow. As the famine gripped right across the land, as the land lay gasping for water, the cry no doubt was heard in the courts of Ahab, "Where is Elijah the Tishbite?" The Sodom upon the four points of the compass throughout the land, but they couldn't find him. Why? Because God had hidden him away. I want you to come with me in these verses. And let's learn even some things from this passage that certainly is applicable to our own circumstances at this time. I want you to notice, first of all, the plainness of God's word. Elijah was to bring a word of the Lord before Ahab. God's word, however, was also to direct him in the way in which he should go. For having left the presence of Ahab that day, the word of the Lord came again unto him. You look with me at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth that is before Jordan." Where did Elijah go to? Where would he be during this time of this famine? God already had a place prepared, and now he reveals it unto him. God does not show his people the full picture all at once, but he leads us step by step. And that has to be so, because we are called upon to walk by faith and not by sight. The psalmist himself could say in Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." You see that word ordered? It means ordained. God, men and women, has ordained our steps even in these present circumstances. Elijah was being led of the Lord. The opposite of that, of course, is to lean on one's own understanding. And had Elijah leaned on his own understanding, then you can be sure that the last place where he would have went to would have been to this brook called Kereth. Knowing what was coming by way of judgment, he may even have embarked upon a countrywide preaching tour, seeking to awaken the slumbering hearts of the people and to turn them from their idolatry. But to do such a thing would not have been God glorifying, for it would not have been acknowledging God in all his ways. This servant of the Lord was one who lived by God's word. He was one who was trusting fully in the Lord to direct him on all his steps. And to go around the country warning the people was the very thing that God did not want him to do at this time. What was the leading of the Lord then? He was to leave the land. And in effect, he was to hide himself away. Look at verse 3. "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Kereth that is before Jordan." You may be tempted into thinking that God sought to hide him at Kereth because of the threat that would be upon his life from Ahab and from his wife. Yet there's a problem with that. And the problem is this, in the fact that the next time that he appears before Ahab in chapter 18, verse 17, there's no threat upon his life. There neither is an attempt even to slay him. Elijah being at this brook was not because God was protecting him. It was not for his own sake. But when God was through his servant and Elijah vacated the region, the word of God also was being withdrawn and removed. Elijah's disappearance meant the absence of God's word from the life of Israel. The judgment of the Lord was upon this people. It was in the form of a famine, but it was a twofold judgment. For not only was it a physical drought, but there was a spiritual famine as well. God was withholding the greatest blessing that any people can ever have, and that is to hear and to have the word of the Lord. A drought of the land, and there, and also now, a silence of the Lord. When we recognize that the greatest calamity that can come upon a people is the withdrawing of those who minister unto the soul, Then we begin to see how great this judgment of the Lord is against the people. They above all nations had been blessed because they had been given God's word. They had heard God's word. They had listened to it. They had obeyed it. And had they have continued to obey the word of the Lord, then the blessing of the Lord would have been their portion. But turning to embrace Baal, they spurned the word of God, and God now in effect was declaring, you won't have my word to listen to. Elijah, get thee hence and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. You see the word hide that is used in verse 3? It's different from that which is used when we read about Ahab who hid God's servants. It's also different from the one that is used of Obadiah in 1 Kings 18 where he hid the servants of the Lord. But the one used here could be rendered, turn thee eastward and absence thyself. Absent thyself. Elijah, by the leading of God through his word, was to absence himself from Ahab and from the people of the land. But so was the word of God. God had withdrawn the prophet of the Lord. There was no dew from heaven, either physically or spiritually. And if you consider the words of Isaiah 30, read with me verse 20. Isaiah 30, 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Surely when we read those verses, then the reasoning of why Elijah is now found to be directed toward the brook Cherith is put beyond any doubt. For God to remove his teachers into the corner was the greatest loss that the people could ever suffer. Where was Elijah directed to go? To the very corner of the land. For the Jordan marked the very limits of the land of Israel. And you may say, well, you know, preacher, that's not true of us at this time. There are plenty of churches and preachers. Can I suggest to you that a people can have an abundance of church buildings and you'll notice, you'll understand, they're closed. They're closed today. And people can have an abundance of preachers, but that does not mean that they're hearing the word of God preached in places where they purport to believe God's word. The messages that are heard are no more than how to cope with life's problems, how to get on well with your neighbor, how to get through this challenge and this trial at this time. But there's little about the extent of man's sin, the reality of a holy God who must and who will punish sin, of the need of contrition of soul, of the necessity of God's saving grace, even in the new birth, and the sufficiency of Christ's atoning death on the cross to atone for sin and to pardon the sinner. The word of God is pushed to the side. Men and women in the land could be witnessing the withdrawing of God's blessing from this people. And even more alarming than that is that many are not aware of it. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. There is the plainness of God's word. However, I want you to see the place of God's choosing. God was withdrawing his word. God was withdrawing the man who could intercede for them before the Lord. Elijah knew how to pray. But when that was the case, where he was to be directed to, we've read in verse 3. For there we're told, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. What sort of place was it? We know it was a place of separation. Think of what was ongoing in the land among the people. They had turned their backs on God's word. They had turned away from following the commandments of God. They instead had turned to worshipping the idols of Baal. There was apostasy in the land. That's a word that maybe sometimes you'll carelessly today. It means a falling away. It means a revolt, a defection from God's truth. They knew the truth, but they turned from it. And this certainly was a day where that had taken place. And the great apostate was Ahab himself. Ahab knew the truth. He knew the God of heaven. He knew the God of heaven existed. But he wanted to sit on the fence. And he wanted to have the best of both worlds. And so he sought to worship Baal as well. His wife was an out-and-out heathen. The wicked Jezebel. Idolatry abounded in every hand, and dishonor was been brought upon the name and the work of God. But you'll notice something. Did God say to Elijah, Elijah, you just stay. You do your best. You let them know there's still one who's faithful. No. God said to Elijah, get thee hence. The man of God was to separate from it. He could not sympathize with them. Nor could he stay in their very midst. The people of God are to keep themselves unspotted from the world, whether it is secular wickedness and uncleanness, or whether it is, as in this instance, religious corruption and apostasy. That is why God directed them to the place of his own choosing. A place outside the camp, a place away from the whole religious system of the land. That place was a little brook near the Jordan. Of course, the Jordan often speaks to us of death in the scriptures. The Jordan separated the wilderness wanderings from the promised land. When the nation crossed over, they died to the old life in the wilderness, and they went into the new land, embracing it and possessing their possessions that God had given to them. The question that is posed in Jeremiah 12 is very poignant. How shalt thou do at the swelling of the Jordan? When you face death, how will you get on? How will you fare? Will you know the company of the Lord bringing you over into that land that is fairer than day, heaven's Canaan land? Or will those waters of death remain dark to your soul with no one to see you through? For as you lived in this world without Christ, so you died without Christ. What a fearful thought. God sent his servant to Cherith, that is before Jordan, for spiritual death was resting upon Israel. It was a place of separation. But you know, it was also a place of comfort and hope. For it was at this place where God had showed himself strong on behalf of his people. It's here that the living God made the waters stand upon a heap, so that in Joshua's day, the children of Israel passed over on that dry ground. And what God was to Joshua, he would be the same to Elijah. And as God's servant went in obedience to this place, and as he met with God at the brook, and thought upon the power of God in the past, then surely his heart would have been comforted. His heart would have been encouraged. The same miracle-working God would not fail him either, as he hadn't failed him with Joshua before him. Thank God, his power is still the same today. It has not diminished one iota with the passing of time. You know, I read those words that we find in Hebrews 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I read that this week. What a blessed truth to comfort our hearts with. What the Lord has been to us before, he will be to us today and in the days lie ahead. But you know, the brook Cherith would also be a place of seclusion. A future hidden from Elijah's view would mean that he would one day be a witness for God, not only just before Ahab, but also in the presence of the people, in the presence of the false prophets of Baal. And of course, that would be a day in which he would put them to the sword. And in some measure, the hearts of the people will be turned back to their God upon Mount Carmel. But that time had not yet come. And neither was Elijah ready for it. And thus God takes his servant and he directs him to a place of seclusion where he will be trained and he will be fitted for that greater service. It wasn't a school of prophets, but it was a hard school of humility. And it was of patiently waiting upon his God. It was a place where the flesh would be mortified. It was a place away from the gaze of the public view. It was a place of getting alone with God. This time, men and women have been hidden away in your homes. It can be a time where God is preparing his children for greater service to come. I would say to you today, make it count for God. Get down the book. Get before God in prayer. Meet with the Lord. Have those special times as never before. Make it count for God. I want to take you to Mark 6 and show you what happened on an occasion with the disciples. Mark chapter 6, they're very much in focus here. The Lord is sending them out. And having done so, we read in verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Verse 30, they come back and they said, apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. They're all built up. They go back to the Lord. They're able to recount all that had happened. Of the wonders that would have been done, of the preaching that they had preached, the preaching of repentance. And you know, they're flush with success. But note the Lord's response. Verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The Lord had to bring them down to earth. They had a greater work still to do, but first they needed to get into that desert place. And they needed to feed their bodies as well. Elijah had to experience Cherith before he would be ready for the victory of Carmel. And so it is with those whom God uses. You think of Joseph in the pit and in the prison before he was second only in command to Pharaoh in the land. Think of Moses, 40 years in the backside of the desert before God called him to lead the nation out of the land of Egypt. Think of David. David had to learn to mind the sheep against the lion and the bear before he would slay the giant Goliath. And so it is with us. If we desire to be used of God and God is pleased to use us, then he will first lead us to the separated place, the place of comfort, and the place of seclusion, the quiet place, before he will put us forth into the victory. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, praying in private is a prelude to having power of God in public. For it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There's the place of God's choosing. But you know, I want you to notice here also in finishing, the promise of God's provision. It wasn't a place where Elijah would have chosen or relished to go to, neither would many of us chosen our present circumstances or our present confinement as it is today. But be assured, it was a place of God's provision. Verse 4, shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. there. It was there that he would have water to drink from the little brook, that in the time of drought throughout the land may have just been a small place. A brook would surely not last long in the time of famine. But Elijah wasn't depending on creation. He was depending upon the Creator. No matter what would be the case in Israel at large, Elijah wouldn't perish because God would provide for his every need. What about his food? Well, the Lord had already prepared the caterers. We've read about them in verse 4. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There, Elijah. We cannot but see the sovereignty of Almighty God when we think upon those words. The God who can part the waters, the one who can calm the storm and the winds and the waves obey him, is the same God who can guide the very ravens to feed his servant. I want you to see it. The wisdom of God in using the ravens. You see, had a man been sent with food, then Elijah's hiding place would have been detected and discovered. Had he used a dog or some other animal on the ground, going out every morning, every evening, making the same journey, then it would have caused the suspicions and the curiosity of the people to arise. And again, Elijah would have been detected. But who would give a second thought to looking up into the skies and to seeing the raven flying with flesh in their mouths? For you see, the flesh, the raven is a bird of prey, and it feeds upon the flesh themselves. But doesn't it show how God was to control their very natural instinct? Instead of eating that flesh, it was to deliver the flesh instead to Elijah to provide food for his servant. The ravens, against their nature, were to drop the meat for him, both in the morning time and in the evening. You see the fulfillment of the provision, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It was good, and it was also constant. Elijah had bread and flesh twice a day. God furnished a table in the wilderness for him and provided him with his daily bread. The promise of provision was kept. The ravens, could they be trusted? Elijah wasn't trusting the birds, but he was trusting the one who commanded the birds and the one who cannot lie. For it says there in verse 4, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Dear believer, hidden away at this time, confined to your house, I say to you, in the words of the Scriptures, God is able, God will supply all your need. Not greed, but all your need, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you know, that provision is only for those who, like Elijah, will act by faith in what God has provided. It says at the end of verse 4, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Not where he was, but he had to go to the brook Cherith. There. And verse 5 says, so he went. There's the act of faith. He went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord. Hiding thyself at home can be a time that you rest more and more on those unfailing promises of the eternal God, and you act by faith on his provision, the provision that he gives. There's a very interesting little verse or two I want to leave with you. You'll find it in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel chapter 12, and it shows you where faith and works go together. Now, we can't be saved by faith and works. It's by faith only. But being saved, then the works complement our faith. I think you'll find this interesting. to what we've been looking at this morning. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Lord speaking. He said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. There's people today and they're concerned about these things. Verse 24. Consider the ravens. You see that? For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? God says to us this morning, consider the ravens. We've already been looking at the raven to do with Elijah's feeding. The raven is also mentioned with Noah. He sent out the raven. We know there it was an unclean animal that rested in the Kargan. The old beast, the old carcasses of the animals that were dead. But the Lord says here, consider the ravens. And it says, God feedeth them. How does he feed them? He doesn't feed them directly. He feeds them indirectly. He gives them wherewithal for them to go and eat. And men and women, there's faith and there's works put together. We are to act by faith in what God has provided. And he will never let us down. And so it is, you know, with God's provision and salvation for guilty, lost, lonely souls. The Savior was promised. And in fulfillment of that promise, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And he accomplished our salvation by laying down his life on that tree, being buried, rising again the third day. And the sinner under the sound of my voice this morning, all that they need, all that they require is to be found in Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You need pardon this morning, it's found in Christ. You need forgiveness this morning of your sins, it's found through Christ. You need cleansing this morning, it's found in the shed blood of the Savior on the cross. You need acceptance. You want the assurance of that eternal inheritance, it's found in Christ. Men and women, young person, will you taste and see, therefore, that the Lord is good this morning? Will you see and know that he is faithful? His saving provision is freely offered to you. I wonder, will you act by faith? Will you come and accept Christ as Lord and as your Savior and be saved? And I tell you, this hiding time away in our home will be a time of the greatest blessing for your soul, for it'll be the time when God met with you there. May God help you to do so. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to each of our hearts this morning for his own name's sake. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer in closing. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy word. Thank thee for the instruction that thou didst give to Elijah to hide himself, to go eastward, and to dwell by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And, oh, Father, how, Lord, in faith that Elijah went, not depending on creation, not depending on the brook, but depending on the great Creator, the one who provided him his every need, the water and the flesh, morning and night, by those ravens that brought it. Oh, God, we praise thee today that thou art the same God of Elijah. Thou art the same powerful, omnipotent, almighty God that knows our every need before we ask thee. Lord, we pray that thou would come, and thou might comfort our hearts, and thou might bless those, speak to those who are yet not saved. Lord, today might be the very day of their salvation. And the Lord drew near and plucked them as brands from the burning. Bless thy word, we pray. Accept of our thanks, and continue with us this Sabbath, for we ask these mercies in our Savior's precious and all-worthy name. Amen.